You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
Okay, guys, this is episode 88 of Good Cop, Bad Cop. Yes, it's me doing the cold intro. It's usually Graham sweating bullets, especially when he's the one editing. Graham, before we get to the Just for Fun poll, I've got a bone to pick with you.
This is to make up for me having a go at you on 87 right at the start, I'm guessing. Bring it on.
Okay, I apologize for anyone who's not aware of this, which is probably most of our listeners, but biscuits and gravy. I said that biscuits and gravy, I did not have enough time to say why is that wrong with it. But what is right with it, Graham? Please enlighten me.
You don't know it until you've tried it. When I first moved to the States, I was in North Carolina for 2 years. That's classed as a southern state. And there are several establishments down there that's their staple breakfast, the sausage gravy. The closest I can describe a biscuit to our English listeners, who are probably very confused, is probably like a plain scone. That's probably about as close as I can describe it as. Yeah, it works great. It works absolutely great. This is in response to a joking post, I have to say, and I'm sure you realized it was tongue-in-cheek. Somebody from a buffet service had put up, you get the chocolate fountains over here. I don't know if you have anything equivalent to that in the UK. Chocolate, seems so over.
Chocolate.
It's like the fondue sets. I guess that would probably be the better example. And they did one for sausage gravy, essentially, and it shows you somebody dipping in the bis. I thought it was hilarious. It is my birthday this weekend. My wife's already said I have no idea what to get for you. So it was a tongue in cheek joke, but I would like to go and sample that someplace. Yeah, I haven't been stuck at home. I love that type of food. Waffle House as well. I love all that southern food. It's great.
The southerners just have really weird stuff on their food. You don't put dessert with gravy, which has for lunch or dinner, at a breakfast thing, unless you're completely clinically insane.
All right. But you don't like pineapple on pizza, so that invalidates your opinion straight away.
Continue with telling us who won the poll this week, Graham.
Poll, I won. It was like 56 to 44. I don't remember the exact numbers, but that's close enough. I picked Camille's debut for NWA and then the promo. They said it was an interview originally. If it was, it was a very one-sided interview, but I thought it was surprising they dropped that the time they did with their no current wrestling going on, but it definitely brought out a side of Camille that I certainly don't know. I hadn't seen her before NWA, and it was something I actually thought picking NWA, that might be something not a lot of people are familiar with. I wasn't expecting to win the poll this week, actually.
I'll be honest, I thought I'd win this one hands down, so I'm very surprised that you won this one, Graham.
I know we have a few people that do watch NWA, but they might not necessarily like it as much as the other. Also, of course, we do know that your brother votes randomly, so it might just be that he actually picked me, and that could have been perhaps the deciding vote, or it could have been a tie, perhaps, if it wasn't for him. I don't know.
I'll be dealing with him next week on What You Talking About, Willis.
All right, let's get this started then. So go ahead, take it away and tell me what you have for your good cop moment this week.
Good! Right, my good cop moment of the week, Graham. I could talk about many things, but one thing which was going to be, I must admit, my open agenda item if I won the poll. So technically speaking, I'm going to bump this up, much like you did last week, Graham, actually.
Sometimes you've got to roll with the punches. You've got to make the best of what you're given, right?
Graham is going to explain to you guys what I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, I asked because we started a few minutes later than planned. I was like, we started a few minutes late because you had to put your fancy dress costume on? You're wearing your Good Cop hockey jersey from WrestleMania. You have your Liverpool scarf on and you have your WrestleMania belt with you. I'm not quite sure how the Liverpool scarf fits into the whole thing, but all right, you told me I'm going to find out more as the podcast develops, so I'm going to guess it's at this point you're going to explain.
Exactly. Now, the Good Cop jersey, this is the Good Cop moment, and arguably my best cop moment of the week. If I put it in the poll, it would win hands down 100%, and that's no offence to you, Graham, it would do. You remember my opening dinner from a few weeks ago was Captain Tom, of course. He at the time he'd raised £9 million for charity, which was fantastic, obviously. I revealed to you last week, Graham, of course, that this very great man. It's also, as time of recording, the number one seller of singles in the UK with a cover of You'll Never Walk Alone, which, of course, is the Liverpool anthem, of course, which Graham was very pleased to hear about, and so was I was extremely pleased to hear about. Time of recording, the current standing of his fundraiser is £29,488,140. Nothing to be sniffed at. And the WWE title belt, and this is why it's a good moment wrestling-wise, because this week WWE sent him a personal, customised WWE championship with a plate to say, congratulations, Captain Tom.
Wow. As you were doing that the whole time, I'm like, how is he going to turn this around into a wrestling moment? And I was ready to mock you. And I hadn't heard that story. I had not heard that story. I knew he had the single because you'd mentioned that. I had not heard that story anywhere this week.
It actually only broke yesterday. So I saw that and I was like, I'm putting that straight in. I thought, great opening dinner moment. And I saw I'd lost the poll. So I was like, perfect. That's my good comment for the week. Sorted. Bang. Done. And that would comfortably have won the best comment of the week if I'd have put that at my moment. But it felt like a good feeling to put out. So as time of release, yesterday, Captain Tom, happy 100th birthday, sir. That is a good cop moment. You've done everyone in England very proud. You've done everyone in the entire world proud. You're an inspiration to us all, as proven by the fact you're now the proud holder of a very unique championship belt. I've got a championship belt, nothing like your one. Your plate will never be recreated. You have a one-off. Awesome. Graham, your good cop moment, sir.
Before I get to that, there was something that I'd missed with you actually going first. And you kind of, with you leading it, you didn't mention this, so I should mention it. I actually won the poll before we even started. Because I said what my good cop moment was, and you're like, I concede straight away, you win. So we actually posted, that was actually the second poll. So I commented, the Ugly Ducklings had released some new merchandise. And I'd heard Dolph Ziggler had bought, I think he said like 50 t-shirts or something crazy. So I tagged him in the post and said, oh, this would go really nicely with your t-shirts that you got. He actually responded. I was like, oh my God. Dolph Ziggler, I'm still like a little kid when I get those notifications, but Dolph Ziggler responded to one of my tweets. It would have been a very poor choice of moment. Obviously, that was a very superficial one, but technically, you did concede the poll before we even started.
I feel I can't beat that. I can't beat Dolph Ziggler replying to you by name. You hear that, Blade Job? Do you hear that? You can tag people and they don't block you. Funny.
This is a tweet. I think I told you ahead of time. I don't think any of my moments have anything to do with any wrestling I've seen this week. This is all from wrestling Twitter. But anyway, April 27, Beyond Wrestling. What's the weirdest wrestling match you've ever seen? Oh my goodness, this was entertaining. Now, I did actually give Matt a little heads up on this one because I wanted him to watch a couple of things so he could actually comment. A few of the things that were on the thread, although you should go and find it yourself, really. Kenny Omega versus a blow-up doll was there, which I've heard about before. I don't think I've ever seen the clips of that. Yeah. I seem to remember we had a match with a 9-year-old girl as well. That one didn't actually even make the list, which shows you how crazy some of this stuff was. Someone put a 6-person tag at YMZ show that morphed into a haiku writing contest and then a competitive game of hide and seek. It was great. There was a whole load. There was a sperm versus egg match, which featured Session Moth Martina with a name with egg written on her head, and then three lady wrestlers who were sperm. And very entertaining. Matt, that's one you could watch as well. I would strongly recommend that. That was a very enjoyable 18 minutes. The table versus ladder match, I know you saw that one. It was like 5 seconds long. Absolutely hilarious. That was definitely a candidate. And the one I recommended you go watch, because we're big fans of GCW, Invisible Man versus Invisible Stan. Oh my goodness. I know that we're big both Bryce Remsburg fans, and he played an absolute blinder in this. I was laughing so much. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And I try to think about what my favorite match would be, and not picking ones I'd already seen. I'm sure there was a lot of candidates from the GCW event we went to, Orange Cassidy Does Something or whatever it was called. I decided to go away from that. I picked something I remembered before, something from Chikara. It was called Let's Play Baseball. And then in the middle of the match, they suddenly set up a baseball game. So, of course, the four corners of the ring match perfectly with the diamond. I remember Colt Cabana was in it. I'm going to put that down as one of my candidates. I also thought about that dodgeball match that we saw. That was very entertaining as well. Matt, I've given you a little bit of time to think. Candidates for your weirdest match that you've ever seen?
Well, there's a few.
Carry down from the 20 that you said you would thought of straight away, because you didn't understand what the word weirdest meant. I didn't say list every weird match you could think of.
There was some very weird ones. I did send one to you, Graham. Do you remember which one it was that we had?
I do not.
The calf match.
I didn't know what that was.
Basically, when Stone Cold Steve Austin became the CEO of WWE back in 1999, briefly, as part of the storyline, he put Triple H in a cast match against The Rock. The Rock had a broken arm and was in a cast. So he put Triple H in a leg cast and had them wrestle each other. That was a weird one. I could quite easily go to the Good Housekeeping match between China and Jeff Jarrett, because that was ridiculous. You know, there was the infamous hardcore evening gown match between Pat Patterson and Jerry Briscoe. One of the worst matches I've ever seen between Stacey Keibler and Troy Wilson in a lingerie match. Although some people say it's one of the best matches, but, you know. But my pick, Graham, is a Hardy match. Rockstar Spud in TNA, better known as Drake Maverick in WWE, of course, was beaten by pinfall on the 1st of November 2016 at TNA Deletion by King Maxwell. Matt Hardy's three-month-old son.
Interesting.
Who, ironically, last year, at 3 years old, stole the 24/7 championship from Drake Maverick. I like that. I like how they had a follow-up in a different company later on, sort of thing. That's my pick, Graham.
That's actually what Mason was telling me about. He's got some book that he's reading right now, and he mentioned the fact, he's like, hey, you know Nicholas is not the youngest champion ever, right? I was like, oh, no, I didn't know that. And he mentioned somebody had won the 24/7 championship. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, no, I didn't remember that at all. Of course, that changes hands so frequently, it's so difficult to keep track of.
He didn't win the championship, he just stole the belt. I don't think he actually pinned him for it. But from what some people are saying, he actually is a recognized holder. I haven't been able to clarify that. It changes hands, like you say, so frequently. Mason may be correct on that one.
All right. Now, there was a couple that were mentioned in the thread, so I'm going to put you on the spot, and we'll see what you can comment on these. The Doomsday Cage match from Uncensored 1996. Or is that too early for you?
WCW, so probably don't know that one, I'm afraid. I think that's the one where they actually put on an electric chair. Yeah, that was...
I remember listening to that.
And apparently it actually worked, that electric chair as well, which is terrifying to think.
I remember hearing about it on the Behind the Gorilla podcast now. As soon as you mentioned that, I was like, I recognize that. And the last one somebody mentioned, The Kennel from Hell, Unforgiven 1999. Matt is covering his face straight away, so I'm going to guess that means he does remember this.
The worst Hell in a Cell match I have ever seen. The build-up to this match, Graham, or the Big Boss Man kidnapping Al Snow's dog, Pepper, butchering it, serving it in a pie, and Al Snow ate it.
Oh my God!
That resulted in a Kennel from Hell match at Unforgiven 99, for the Hardcore Championship, in which a steel cage match was contested inside the Hell in a Cell cage with dogs patrolling the outside, which got nowhere. The dogs went nowhere near him at any point. It was the worst thing ever in the world. And then they climbed, Unforgiven 99 has a fantastic six-pack challenge in the main event. The rest of the whole of that event can go to hell.
And the reason this was my good cop moment is just the fact right now, you can see me. Obviously, we're talking on Skype right now. I just got a big smile on my face. I've been laughing at a lot of this. It just reminds you of some of the wackier moments in wrestling. And, you know, I love my comedy moments and the sports and things like that were fun. That's what I needed right now. That's why it was my good cop moment.
And you like being able to use me, being able to bring the memories back to you like that. Because as soon as I mentioned that match from WCW, hold my hand up in that one side, Ryan. But as soon as I said that, look on your face was priceless. And right now, we need some of that. Should I try and get some good cop speed checking quickly?
Bring it on.
Right, okay, very important one to kick it off, Graham. Aja Smith, the first ever African-American full-time female referee, signed for NXT in February, made her Raw debut this week.
I saw that. I was like, oh, I'm not sure who that is, but I was like, oh, okay.
In the Lashley vs. Dejanette match, it was a fairly standard match for Lashley and Dejanette. It was hard-hitting, it was to the point. Aja did a good job. WWE didn't make a big deal about it. The news outlets didn't make a big deal about it. I spoke to Chris about it, and he said, well, it's good WWE didn't make a big deal about it, because they shouldn't need to make a big deal about it. And it was just nice to see. I didn't notice it till right at the end, to be fair. I was like, awesome, brilliant. Okay, Ricochet and Cedric Alexander's new double-team finisher is absolutely brutal. Violent, to the point. Love it. These guys are the real deal. Loving it. The stagehand who took the water off Triple H with a mask on. Brilliant. Made me laugh. As soon as he ran up, Triple H about to take us through the water, do his whole spit thing. Can't climb, of course. That's not a practical thing to do anymore. Loved it. Loved how they played off of a social distance for that. And HBK mentioning that Cole and Graves were only there because they have to be contractually. Loved that as well. Speed check done.
Alright, so I'm going to kick off with some short ones. Deonna Purrazzo talking in an interview about how good AEW would be for her, and her best friend Britt Baker is over there. I certainly like the possibility of some of those matches. Of course, any name that comes from WWE now is immediately associated with AEW. It's not happened yet, but I'm very excited tonight for the match between Matt Hardy and Orange Cassidy. I'm sure that could possibly be my best cop moment on a poll. We'll have to see. And the last thing I have is something from At Primetime Pro Wrestling. This is April 25th. Tell us one little moment or detail that you miss about wrestling shows that isn't wrestling itself, which kind of fits in perfectly with my whole theme this week. I'm not really talking about any specific wrestling, just things I've seen. So many people talking about just the fact you've seen the regulars. You don't even necessarily know their name. You just know their Twitter handle. Riding the after-show hype buzz. Don't usually go to sleep until the sun comes up. I can relate to that one. I normally get my podcast in notes taken as soon as I come back, because I'm just too wired after those things. Running for your life when the action goes into the crowd and then laughing about it on the way home. I miss starting the slow clap. The inevitable woo battle that happens before the bell. I think that's more WWE than indies. Anyway, merch tables and meeting and taking pictures with talent. Awkwardly saying hello to a wrestler at the merch table. It's hard not to feel like a total dork. And MGB Graham put the drive there, the merch tables, and discussing the matches on the way home. Quality time spent with at MGB Wrestling Pod. It was great to hear from a lot of those people who we see regularly at those events. And once again, just brought back a lot of positive memories that aren't necessarily even to do with the wrestling. A lot of them are outside the actual matches. And those are some good cop moments for me.
Positive stuff is never a bad thing.
I was actually wondering, we haven't said so many of those are indie related and not really WWE, how many of those you would relate to just from being at White Eagle Hall last year? Although they didn't really have the merch tables because they kind of had to get people in and people out.
They had merch tables at Capital.
They did. That's true. I'd forgotten that one.
And yeah, there was merch tables there. They were upstairs mainly than the merch tables were. But I was differing on it, but I was more interested in my cider and my chocolate at the time, so.
Something very specific to indie that you don't normally get at WWE events.
Being able to get out close and personal with them if I wanted to. I missed that closeness. As pointed out when we mentioned in DM how you had to pretty much push me towards Logan. I was terrified. Yes, I wanted to meet Logan, but I was terrified.
All right, don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free.
Good! Bad!
All right, that was the good. What have you got for the bad this week then, Matt?
Bad!
I've got a tweet, Graham, for you, which has... It didn't just annoy me. It's not yours. It's not one of your tweets. Don't worry. This was brought to my attention by my Talk of the Table co-host Conrad Newton. I'm going to refer to the tweet in question. I'm going to quote FTLO Wrestling, okay? Because it's called For the Love of Wrestling. Quote, a woman shopping in Walmart in the States spotted a WWE NWO t-shirt and bought it to the supermarket advocating for the creation of a one world government. Oh dear. Now, Graham must have seen this picture. I will send the picture to Graham so he can retweet it so people get the context of it, okay? Is that right? Now found in your local Walmart store. This is the quote. I don't know who it actually originally was, but global elites are pushing for the NWO, New World Order, which includes one world order, one religion, one world currency, and one world government. Time to show Walmart what we think. Hashtag support small business. It's an NWO for life shirt. I'm sorry, it even has the WWE logo attached to it. How? I have no more words than this. I saw this and I thought, there's been some bad stuff in the world right now, but that pissed me off more than anything this week. You can't even read the bloody label? If you support small business, what are you doing at Walmart anyway? Anyway, Graham, you got any thoughts before you take your turn?
Bad.
Alright, my bad top moment to continue with the theme of not talking about anything that happened this week. I'm going back 20 years ago, and I'm going back to David Arquette winning the WCW Championship. Why are people still ripping on this 20 years later, and people are still upset by this? I don't even know how this could possibly be a bad cop moment, because one, he didn't even want to win the title. The writers said he had to win it. The money that he got from that, he donated. I think part of it went to Owen Hart's family, and basically a lot went to charity. He's done his dues on the indies now, and if you're not happy about this, why don't you attack the bookers and not actually David Arquette himself? I don't understand this at all. It makes no sense. There was a lot of people still very upset by this week, and I'm still not sure why WCW gets such a bad rap anyway. Vince has made some pretty questionable decisions on WWE himself anyway. I'm going to give you a little spoiler, and I already told you this anyway, but for everybody else, Mason and I actually recorded. He watched Vengeance 2003 because we had a DVD of it. It was a cheap DVD, so I was like, hey, go, you can watch it. And he said, I really liked it. I was like, okay. I was like, we can do a review and we'll just put it away for when baseball season eventually happens and we have an episode. There was a match on there where the winner got to sleep with Tori Wilson. Like, I mean, oh my God, an indecent proposal match. Now, thankfully, it wasn't that explicit, but it was one of those where it's like, Vince, you make some terrible decisions, some very questionable decisions. I don't think David Arquette winning the championship is anything close to that, but hey, that's my bad cop moment. People who won't drop the fact that David Arquette won the championship. The fact that WCW ended a few months later is not just because of that one single moment. And anyone who thinks so is a fool.
I fully agree with everything you said there. But.
So you didn't agree with everything.
I fully agree with you, but I'd like to elaborate slightly, if that's all right. So, Vince Russo screwed WWE. Vince Russo eventually screwed WCW. If you want proof of that, he made himself a WCW champion. David Arquette has paid his dues since then, but at the time was not the right person to be holding the biggest prize in WCW. He wasn't the right person to be winning it. It should have been DDP, but it wasn't.
But even he said himself, I don't want to win the championship, so don't blame. He stopped blaming David Arquette.
You are aware that these people are the same sort of people who are blaming anything like 5G towers on what currently happening in the world, Graham, right?
Probably. Or who think t-shirts for Walmart are promoting a single government. All right, let's move on to something a little speedier. One of your quick moments for the week. Go ahead, give us your speed check.
Two moments in one, Graham, for you. How's that for speed check?
Sheamus.
Sheamus, another jobber. I'm in despair right now. Sheamus has gone from being... I mean, come on, he's a badass, don't get me wrong, but he's better than jobbers. But why have they attacked Michael Cole? I mean, yes, I don't like Michael Cole particularly, but it doesn't add anything to you. I mean, you swiped the head off of an announcer. You did the wrong announcer for us. I should have been Corey. So that's a bad time for yourself. You chose the wrong commentator to knock the headset off of. That's all I got, Graham, this week.
Fair enough. Perhaps he's getting ready for a second match. We know that he fought Jerry the King Lawler, so. Okay, my speed check. Fiending for followers at Fiend for Follow, and that's follows, sorry, and that's the number four. Remember when Mick Foley introduced the 24/7 title and said the third hour of Raw was going to be darker and dirty? Why didn't they follow through with that idea? They changed the graphics and lighting as well. It's amazing how quickly we forget some of this stuff. I know one of my moments the other week was, hey, they said they were going to do this, and then they didn't. They do throw a lot of stuff out there, don't they, WWE? They say they're going to do something, and then they never really do it. Hey, we're going to listen to the fans, and then they kind of didn't really do that either. I know right now they can't do that, obviously, but it's just one more reminder of WWE promising a grittier look, and it never really actually happening. Somebody said, quote, because this is WWE, they only do shiny new objects with zero plan or follow through. Exactly, that's why they're a bad cop moment. And WWE Battleground video game. I'm sure you might talk about this on one of your other podcasts. You get thrown out of the ring and eaten by a crocodile? Really? Okay, not good. And I thought, now, you know I'm not a video game player really, Matt, but my understanding was that the quality of the graphics now are pretty decent, right? They're very realistic. Now, I know last week you mentioned that you're not a big fan of fat shaming. You're going to have to give me a little bit of leeway on this one. I thought the Charlotte character was, she had a few extra pixels on her, to be honest.
There are two aspects of gaming when it comes to sports games. And wrestling comes in a sports game, officially. You can either have an arcade effect, which is not realistic, which is what Battleground is going to be. Or you can have simulation, which is what the 2K series, which did so badly last year, happened. 2K21 was cancelled. It's an arcade game. It's not realistic. They did a similar game years ago called All-Stars. Very similar. It was over the top. Absolutely ridiculous. It was a bloody hoot, Graham. And right now, 2K also need the breathing space to make up for next year what happened last year. Because otherwise, they're going to be screwed this year. So I agree, it's a bad cop moment.
You didn't think Charlotte looked a little chunky?
You're asking the wrong person about a woman's body type, Graham.
Okay, all right, fair enough. I'm making a little mental note to myself. If I ever talk video games again, I need to make sure I do it when you're editing, because not only do I have to listen to it once, I have to listen to it for a second time again later.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good. Bad.
All right, we've figured out what was good and what bad. You already talked about there was a lot of mediocre cop moments. Anything you were still unsure of where to put them this week?
The big one for me is what? The actual
bed
was that Vince McMahon segment about on SmackDown this week. My head, it's Wednesday now, recording. That happened last Friday. I watched it live. Jesus, I've never seen anything that bizarre. Vince looked like he just come off his meds, and had been like the jacket come off, pushed out onto the stage, and he opened his mouth and words came out. I'm like, Fox, what are you doing? Really? Leave Vince in the back and let Triple H have his moment. It's bad enough he can't do it in front of an audience of people, but, you know, it would have been nice to have him do his 25th anniversary in front of people. That's quite a big thing in general. But why did they then add the crickets at the end for? I'm unsure as to, I mean, it was different, but I don't know if it's good or bad.
I think it was bad. You made it very clear when I said, oh, you want the whole set? Because I was like, what was Vince doing? And you're like, no. Did you read what I put? I was like, okay, I got you. I saw what you put.
It's fair for you to put down what I want you to, me to put, what I want you to put down, Graham. Because I'm still not sure. Because usually Vince being there is, I laughed because it was ridiculous, but like, surely this is not good. Anyway, what was your unsure moment of the week, sir?
This one's kind of an old one. This is actually the last time we released an episode. This is from, I think it's a week ago, April 24th at Phoenix AEW. Quote, the only people I see talking
bad,
so I'm going to be editing that part out, about Aubrey's shirt are people I have blocked and muted. This only reaffirms my decision in that regard. She's ecstatic and we like it. That's all that matters. Let people enjoy things. JFC, not sure what that is, quit hurting people under the guise of just asking. Any ideas what JFC is? Help me out.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, thank you. I couldn't figure out. I looked at that before and I was like, I have no idea what that is. I'm going to actually just read that last sentence again, okay? Let people enjoy things, JFC. Quit hurting people under the guise of just asking. Now, for those people who aren't sure, it's the Aubrey shirt that has the finger pointing, kind of like the Uncle Sam recruitment poster from World War. And it's basically Matt's demonstrating perfectly for an audio feed. always good when I get the giggle out of you.
Sometimes I do it.
It's Aubrey. Mason does that all the time. He's Jackson's the number one person showing me a move. I'm like, that doesn't, we can't record that, buddy. But it's Aubrey pointing, saying, I said two. All right, a few responses. At one real, Doug Green. Didn't Earl Ebner hockey's own ref theme match? The president has already been set. If she can move shirts, more power to her. At Mr. Awesome 24/7/7. Ref Aubrey's t-shirt is incredible and she deserves it. Ref Aubrey works hard and kicks major ass, in my opinion. I ordered mine straight away. The people that are complaining about it have really deep messed up issues. At Distorted Zero, so far I haven't run into any negative takes on Aubrey having a shirt. Guess I've done a good job of clearing my timeline of idiots. Imagine getting angry over something so trivial, especially when everything that's going on in the world right now. I'm going to guess that I'm equally lucky then, because I didn't see anybody say anything negative about this. The reason that the person had seen this was she saw another thread and she saw other people and the comments were blocked, and then she kind of unblocked them to see what they were saying and then kind of blocked them again afterwards. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know why people would have a problem with this. Mason bought some merch from a referee at AIW in 2017. We got an 8x10 from Bryce when we saw him at Flying V. Matt, we took pictures with referees at Eagle City Hall because we were finding them, and they were saying, hey, look, tag us on Twitter, and we're happy to do that. During WrestleMania 35 weekend, Mason got to do a short interview with WWE ref Chris Sharp, which was just written down, and then we kind of read out what questions he'd asked. Yeah, I don't understand it. Why would that be a problem for them selling merch? This is not like, now if it was a football referee or a soccer referee, I could understand, because they have to have impartiality. As far as I'm concerned, they are characters within this scene that we set. So why would that be a problem? The only thing I really have a problem is, and another thing I'm unsure about, is why doesn't Kid Ref, Chris Levine, sell stuff at Nova Pro? He's a great referee as well. He was one of my good cop moments the other week. Yeah. Go ahead, Matt. Tell us.
I own a shirt from an AEW referee.
The Bryce is right.
Yep, I bought that shirt. He and the man himself, after having watched him do a head to the takedown on someone in a match at GCW, which was amazing in itself. I was like, referees don't do that. Flea Train Man, he's amazing. Posted a picture with me afterwards, Bryce did. And then, bless him for this, he actually sorted through all of his merch to find a shirt that fitted me. Didn't have to do that. Didn't have to do that at all. Bryce, you're always right to me. And I have no problem with people selling merch. I mean, I do know Hebner got in trouble for selling merch out the back of his car. He got in big trouble for doing it, I know. But at the same time, like you say, a precedent has been set. I have no problem with it. Aubrey's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't see why people would have a problem with that. at all.
People, why do people sell merch, Graham, in general?
To subsidize the fact that they're very poorly paid and the fact that they need to wrestle on top of their regular job just to survive.
I don't mean wrestling in general. I mean in general. What's the purpose of merch?
To show support for the person you're buying from.
To get more eyes on the product in question. Of course.
Yeah, alone. Yeah, you're right. Why wouldn't you want more eyes on AEW? Yeah.
Exactly. So AEW probably saying, like, push as much as you can. I'm unsure as to why anyone have a problem with that, Graham. I fully back you on this one. I've no idea.
Clearly AEW don't, because they wouldn't have said, hey, yeah, go ahead, put a t-shirt out. They wouldn't if they think, yeah, didn't get that one at all. All right, those are some of the bigger issues on our unsure moments. How about a speed check from you then?
One for you, Graham, this week, and it's arguably bigger than the first one. But is Drake Maverick being rehired already? I'm not sure. You're obviously aware of what I'm talking about right now. Obviously, when he gave that very impassioned speech a couple of weeks ago now, it would have been 2 weeks, bloody hell, when they released that plethora of people on what was officially known Bloody Wednesday, which we covered on the table with Ryan, of course. It was one of the most heartfelt things, seeing Drake go. I mean, I cried watching it. Mags cried watching it. I'm pretty sure are you shaking your head because you can't even be cried about it? We got emotionally invested in a character. There's nothing wrong with that, Graham. Okay? Everyone reacted to things differently. You were sad to see him go as well. I'm sure you were. But now, he said he was going to continue wrestling in the Cruiserweight tournament because it was all underway. But why now is he now saying, I've got to win every single match in the Cruiserweight Championship? Have a chance of winning it. And they're putting him over like crazy all of a sudden. I'm unsure, and I've seen people talking about this on various YouTube videos and some people on Twitter, and I'm unsure if this is right or not. Some people are saying his release and that video was a work, which, if that's the case, Graham, I'm unsure about it. So that's why it's my unsure moment. But if that is the case, I have no words. That's the lowest thing I've seen for years, if that's the case. People lost their jobs that day. And if that was all the work in the first place, if they changed their mind since then that's different. But if this was a plan all along, we may never find out the truth on that side of things. If it is the case, then that is just wrong. Any thoughts?
I can't argue with that, yeah. With people, affecting people's lives like that, you can't play with people like that. I think that there's some things that you don't joke about, and I think that would probably fall under that category. That would be in very poor taste, considering people did lose their jobs in reality. So, yeah, I can't argue with that. All right, my unsure moments. I think I got three. I saw Cody file for trademark on Cody Rhodes. I know it goes back over a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't see it to begin with after WWE let the trademark lapse. And why? Been 4 years ago. Does it even matter now? I don't know. I'm unsure. I think you should just stick with Cody personally, but hey. I saw on the Speaking with Corey Graves After the Bell podcast, Triple H said he was approached by Vince McMahon around Mania this year asking whether he could help on the show. And he was like, yeah, the bone match. I said, okay, great. And he asked him what a bone yard match was. And he's like, I don't know. He was like, it's in a graveyard. I said, okay. And he said, they got this huge field. We'll turn it into a graveyard. It's in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, all right. What do you want it to be? And he's like, I don't know. Just make it good. Now, I'm unsure, because obviously it turned out great. I'm unsure, is Vince just overworked? Or does he just trust Triple H so much that he's like, hey, whatever you think, whatever your vision is, go with it. Because everything you touch seems to turn to gold right now. I'm not sure which it is. Obviously, XFL was going through problems around WrestleMania. There was a lot of trouble going on with WrestleMania itself. Perhaps there was just too much going on. Not sure about that one. And my last thing I'm unsure about, after you missed the finisher from Nia Jax was called Annihilation because it contained Nia, I'm unsure whether to tell you that Liv Morgan's finisher is called the Oblivion.
I did, and I instantly had your voice going through my head. I was like, he's going to bring this up this week, isn't he?
Yep. It could have easily been mentioned as a devil's advocate, but I was like, nah, I don't need that.
If I may quickly touch on the you weren't sure about the Boneyard match, I think, yes, he did get demoted recently from one position. He's still on the board. He's still a minority owner. He's still a vice president and all this stuff and like that. I think, yeah, of course, I think he trusts Triple H massively. Triple H is going to end up running this company one day because if you name McMahon or Levesque, you will run this company because Vince McMahon is not going to live forever. And Stephanie and Triple H will be eventually running the company. And Triple H has done a fantastic job of NXT. And under extremely difficult circumstances at the moment, and whether people agree, which is unsure in itself, whether WWE should be operating right now, no doubt about it. He's putting on because it is Triple H, he's there all the time, obviously, because you don't need all the producers all on furlough, obviously. Triple H is doing a fantastic job putting on a show for us. Now, whether or not they should be, is people can debate that one. Put on a good show, and if it was all his vision for the Boneyard match, him and Jeremy Brash, applaud you for that. Can't answer that for certain, Grambo, but I personally believe it.
Good! Bad!
Graham. Episode 88. Would you like to go first or second for the Devil's Advocate, sir?
Can I do an open agenda since I won the poll twice?
No, you can't. Of course you can. Go on.
At the risk of beating a dead horse, I'm going to keep this one short. I did see in COVID news this week, a soccer player from Juventus has tested positive for a fourth time in 6 weeks. This thing is not going away quickly. I also saw news that people in the 30s and 40s are now suffering more strokes because of this, particularly in New York. They're finding out that it's not just the lungs, it's affecting lots of other parts. I saw pictures today of children back in school in China wearing masks and also what looked like visors around their heads as well. This is not going away anytime quickly. And yeah, it's going to change us forever. And I'm just going to leave it at that. We know the deal, but things that open agenda is for things that are on our mind this week. And when you see things like that, how can I pick anything on the top of what those moments were right there?
Fair enough, Graham.
Good! Bad!
I would like to go first.
Okay. For the Devil's Advocate, you want to go first. Right. Two of them are cruel. One of them is exceptionally cruel.
I already put one on Twitter that I said I couldn't do. I don't know if you've seen that. I don't think you even commented.
I haven't seen it, no.
Perhaps I didn't tag you. Okay.
You can do that one after the bell, as it were. Right. Graham, your Devil's Advocate for Good Cop, Bad Cop 88 is AEW leading by example, as always, because they've booked someone who is lazy against someone who is crazy.
But I assume you're talking about Orange Cassidy and Matt Hardy, so I think I might have predicted you were actually going to use that as well. Of course, they show that's what you need. You used to have the traditional good guy, bad guy. That's old school, though. You need something a little bit different. So lazy versus crazy is a perfect alternative to that. You got to mix it up. We're not talking about 20th century anymore. We got to have 21st century matches.
Time. You're really getting the hang of this, Graham.
The hardest part I was having was I started my timer and I was putting it up to the screen, but I was trying to read it because it's the mirror reflection. So I'm trying to read the time and concentrate on what I'm saying. It made me stumble. I wanted you to make sure that I was doing it strictly for the correct time. So, yeah, I made it way more complicated myself than I needed to. All right. Now, I did tell you that I might actually need two this week because I'm not even sure if you're going to understand the first one. But we'll try the first one. And if you know what I'm talking about, you can defend it. And if you don't have a clue, I will totally understand you not having a clue about what I'm talking about. Although you've defended things before that you had no idea what I was talking about. And I think I've done similar things. But all right. Your Devil's Advocate for this week is, it wasn't Joe Exotic's zoo who suspected Ring of Honor wrestlers were spies for Carol Baskin. I did too.
Well, as someone who has not watched it because I cannot stand the idea, I did a bit of research into Tiger King. I've no interest in watching that. In watching that film, Carol Baskin, I actually thought when this was all going around, this was the end part of Walking Dead. I had no idea about it at all, but I do suspect That's what happened. I defended it. Sam Whaley, I have nothing in common with Tiger King.
I have to.
That really pissed me off, Sam, when you put that. I was like, no.
I'm one of the few people in America who hasn't watched that show either. The story I got was Caitlin Holdroyd of The Score. Matt Taven says he and fellow Ring of Honor wrestlers Jay Lethal and Dalton Castle drew suspicions for possibly being spies during a visit to Joe Exotic's Oklahoma Zoo. We already know that it's the Tiger King, so I don't need to tell you that. That's the part I wasn't sure if you'd know any of those names at all. Matt Taven confirmed they did go to the zoo after they saw multiple signs and thought that it looked interesting. What a bizarre story that was.
I do have two I didn't give you, Graham. Two which were kind of cruel. One of which was, glad Apollo Crews is out of Money in the Bank. I never rated him.
My backup was, Apollo Crews needs to stop faking the injury just to get out of wrestling during these trying times. We deserve our entertainment. So, wow, we're on a similar page.
And the other one was, Melissa replaced me on Talk of a Table this week at the right decision.
Yeah, you booked me for that show, and I got bumped before I was like,
look at me! Mags does the booking.
Perhaps you shouldn't book me for the show then, if you're not the booker. That seems like a
pretty beatable. Booked someone else. Anyway,
it's all good. I'll get on soon enough. I know what I need to do now. I just need to shout loudly on Twitter if I want to be on your show. I see how it works.
Graham also asked me to not include any MGB stuff this week. I had plenty of...
Correct. But, and the new rule is going to be, I told you about this. I don't think that's good. Not everyone would listen to MGB anyway. So I said, we'll talk about MGB after the credits have rolled, after the music's played. And from now on, because we just used to do that anyway. After the credits had finished, we would just talk about probably the podcast of the week. So I think that's perfectly reasonable. We kind of go back to that, but we'll just leave it in as bonus material.
Which we should do. On behalf of myself and Graham, stay safe out there. We'll see you next week. And in the spirit of my good cop moment of the week, we'll never walk alone. We're out of here.
Let's talk some. I assume you want to talk some MGB then, right?
I do. All of these.
Your whole moments from what I said. Or was it just your bad cop moments you had to get rid of?
All of these were my bad cop moments.
Oh. And our episode this week, for people don't know, was a review of Nova Pro. It was the sixth episode of Nova Pro.
Yes. The bad cop moment is not the fact that it's about Nova Pro, because there's some good stuff in there. So don't worry about that. No, it's just little comments in general. Mason is right about refs and no DQ matches. Refs quite often will get involved and stop people from using weapons in no DQ matches. I've seen it many times, multiple times I've seen it over the years. Refs saying, don't use that. What are you using that for? Even though there's no DQ. Notably, Triple H versus HBK at SummerSlam 2002. It wasn't even a sanctioned match. It was a non-sanctioned match. And Earl Hebner took the sledgehammer off of Triple H in the middle of a fight. So, they're present for that in the past. So, I've seen it firsthand.
Why is it a no DQ match then? If there's going to be interference? Well, I guess it's a different interference. Okay. That makes no sense. You can use any weapons unless the ref says so. That's contradiction.
It's agreed. It's usually explained away on commentary by the commentator saying, referee, try to show some compassion here. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying I've seen it happen.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. Mason, talking about Mortal Kombat. Now, first of all, that fighter is not in Mortal Kombat. Trust me. But he also said, like, I'm not into Mortal Kombat. Bleep this part, Graham, please. No
f***ing bad.
He shouldn't be in a Mortal Kombat. It's X-rated for a reason.
Oh, I didn't know that. I had no idea. No. I know it was Benjamin Banks told us we could listen to that episode.
You know what? You've heard of the ESPR, the EPRB, yeah?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know that thing where they're like Peggy Free? You see that? You know it's got an age rating on something, yeah?
Oops, I know that part, yes.
Yeah, it's called the Peggy rating system, right? The okay. ESRB. It's a rating like T for teen, PG 13. That exists because of Mortal Kombat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad he skipped the first hour of that interview then.
Yeah.
As we could, that came up because he made some post and somebody, his guest, commented that they said something that was very PG, and they were like, well, I wasn't sure whether it was supposed to be PG or not. And Banks said, oh, it's like G-rated. I was like, oh, could Jackson listen then? It's like, yeah, he can listen to that. And then it came up later that we were interviewing Max Morrison. So yeah, that's, I think Max Morrison's interview is coming out on Monday, and yeah, he's like, oh yeah, go listen to the Mortal. I had no idea.
Fine. The podcast was perfectly fine. I've listened to it myself.
Okay.
As always, he
doesn't know about the game. Oh, well,
itself, he should not be into that game. Do not let him near it till he's 18. Please.
Hey, that's bad.
His uncle, I will never forgive myself if I let him do it. You don't say fantastic that often, dude.
I did it recently. It wasn't, I don't know if I've always done it, but I noticed that I was on a few that, I don't know if it was Good Cop, Bad Cop, but I noticed when I was editing recently that I said it a lot. And I was like, oh, I'd never noticed that before. Perhaps it just happened then like two or three times on one episode, and it triggered it because I'd said it three times in one episode. So I was wondering, is it something I always said? Okay.
I've written something down here. I'm not entirely sure what I mean by it. Mason's editing insights. Fully agree with him. Not entirely sure what I mean by that.
He was talking about things like now he's editing. I actually pay him a little bit to do some editing because I think it's important that he does something to help towards the podcast. And it actually saves me a little bit of time as well. I still have to re-edit, though. This last Nova Pro episode that he put together had match 1, match 2, match 3, match 4, match 4, match 6. So I still have to go back and check on certain things. And he cut out the whole intro as well. And there was like a 2-second gap in between the end of one. So I have to go back, but I don't have to. That was actually probably his worst edit in 5 episodes. But he's getting a lot better now. But he's kind of a perfectionist, which I'm sure he picks up from me. Like, he was like saying, like, I try and edit out all the ums. And I was like, buddy, you don't have to do that. And he's like, when I mix words together, he was talking about that a little bit as well. He was talking about the fact that I picked him up on the fact that he goes, well, so he has that little intro, but it's just one of those little idiosyncrasies.
I do remember from MGB6, a long time ago now, it feels like, when we were talking about Sonya Deville and Ronda Rousey, you actually said, Mason, go on, Mason, and he's like, so before, I'm like, as soon as he said that, I was like, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Nothing wrong with that, of course. Yeah. And regarding ums and ers, you should see the amount of editing I have to do sometimes. Another podcast, which I exclusively edit, he goes a few times. Someone who I love very dearly, so please don't. But there's nothing wrong about it, of course. They're just trying to get just bought in general. Something that you said that you say to Mason quite a lot, Graham.
Yeah. All right, Mason, what you got?
You said to me as well.
Oh, I do? Oh, I didn't even notice that.
So, Matt, what you got?
Huh. It was probably you that pointed it out to me, I'm guessing. It would probably have been you or Darren, I'm guessing, because I wouldn't have noticed that. But I know somebody pointed that out to me very early on, and then consciously I tried to think of different ways, and after a while I was like, it doesn't matter. It's a perfectly good segue into what do you have. So, yeah.
Everyone's got their own little outros. I proved my fight to everyone next month, which means mine might be the best. So, and on that bombshell, it's goodbye from me, and we're out of here.
Boom.
Music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at Computech. creativecommons.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.